Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome to this Monday Racing Postcast. I'm Maddie Plough, joined in the studio by James Hill and Stuart Riley, and we also have Darren Hughes from Paddy Power on the line as well. Lads, unfortunately, equine flu, we're still up in the air about this. We will know more later on tonight when the BHA announce another bulletin on it. But in recent days, you know, some people have been saying it's been a massive overreaction, they've dealt with it wrong. Other people very much praising the BHA and saying that they've done the best in testing circumstances. Stu, I'll go over to you first. What's your opinion on it as a whole? Do you think the BHA have done the right thing?
I think they have dealt with it the right way, yeah. I think it's one of those situations where you do need to be cautious. It's a virus at the end of the day that can spread like wildfire. If it had been a variation of it that had been immune to the vaccination, then it's the sort of thing that could have spread massively. I think there's one other factor here as well. Even if you take into account that the thoroughbred population are vaccinated and the vaccine seems to be proving to be pretty effective, we've now got just two yards that have an issue. There are an awful lot of horses across the country that aren't vaccinated. And if you were moving racecourses around the country, spreading the virus, it may not necessarily affect the thoroughbred population, but there is the chance that it could affect other breeds of horse. And especially when you get into the fact that we're just coming into breeding season, etc., I think they've done the right thing. You had to take a safety first approach.
Yeah, exactly. You touched on there different industries being affected. I spoke to Tom Scudamore and he said, you know, I think we've all got a responsibility to help each other out, you know, whether it be riding schools, whether it be eventing yards, etc., etc. Jimmy, you've been sort of in the hub of the action for the last couple of days. What's your take on it? Lots of trainers are being quite outspoken about how they think it's all been an overreaction.
Yeah, well, I can see their point. I do think it was important when the news of the first positive tests came through at Donald McCain's yard that they reacted strongly to that. The BHA, it's important that they get a handle on how far the flu has spread. You know, whereabouts it spread, how many racehorses are being affected by it. We are now getting to a stage where it's really pressing for the action to get started again. Cheltenham Festival is just a month away. Mm. I mean, my personal concern is we're talking about something that is endemic in racehorses. I mean, when it comes about, it's highly contagious. It's not just something that's going to go away overnight. So, you know, if they want this to be the end of the matter, I think that's quite difficult because, you know, it's in all parts of the country. I say all parts, but in some parts of the country, we're getting cases of this with unvaccinated and vaccinated horses. And it's probably just something that we're going to have to cope with over the next few months. You know, whether a continued shutdown would be the right policy, I'm not so sure.
Okay, that's interesting. Obviously, it's hard to tell, and I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but from your perspective, when do you think Racing will go ahead-ish? This weekend?
Well, before the news of the positive tests at Newmarket came through, I was pretty hopeful that it would start by this coming weekend at least.
Yeah.
Not so sure now.
Yeah.
As I said, it really is pressing for the action to get started again. But, you know, if more positive tests were to come through, say, different parts of the country or something, that could be a bit worrying. It really just have to wait and see. It's really up in the air now.
OK, Darren, we'll go over to you. I know you've got quite a strong opinion on this one.
Yeah, look, I think the BHA deserve massive praise for their initial reaction to this. They really nipped it in the bud nice and quick. And, you know, and I think that's a very professional way to handle it. I think what we're in danger of now is that we're going to put the industry on lockdown over an issue that isn't necessarily massively serious. From an Irish perspective, I can tell you, we've had a few positive cases here, like before the news was announced, but we didn't break the news because it's not newsworthy. If you go around any yard around this time of year, you're odds on to get one or two horses that have snotty noses and a bit of a flu and everything else. So while I do think the initial reaction was spot on, I think if we allow this to go on over what is in effect a couple of yards that have been infected and are now on lockdown, if you allow the entire industry to be put in shutdown for that, like I just think that is not the way to go with it as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, yeah, and the financial implications and things as this goes on are going to get more and more serious for lots of different types of people. But we'll leave that chat
next year.
Sorry?
I said I need my financial bonus this year. I'm sick of us who are losing out on revenue.
Okay, so on that note, we will go into the weekend's action. Nace and Punchestown, of course, racing in Ireland. Darren was lucky enough to have racing. We, of course, weren't. Fingers crossed that'll change soon. Let's start off with Band of Outlaws, who really put his hat into the ring for the triumph. You get the impression, Darren, he won a bit more impressively than they were initially wanting him to.
Yeah, I'd say Joseph is not happy, if I had to guess, because I'd say this lad was a Fred Winter shoo-in. He was probably going to get in off his rating as it was without winning this. They were really talking him down afterwards as well. Like, if you notice, Joseph, they crawled around and it was only his flat speed that won it or whatever else. I think they're doing this lad a massive injustice. Again, I'd encourage anyone to go back and watch his hurdling debut at Cork. He kicked every hurdle out of the ground. He went out of his way to be awful at every hurdle. Has improved since then. His jumping is now fairly good. Has a serious turn of foot, and I think he's a better hurdler than they're giving him credit for. He'd be definitely one to keep on side, I think.
What price can we get for the triumph?
He is tens at the moment for the triumph, but I would be surprised if he went there purely on the basis that Joseph has such a strong hand there already. Mm-hmm. He could be more of a Fred Winter type.
Okay, exactly. Jimmy, do you think in a way this is, I mean, it was an impressive performance, but connections are playing it down? Do you think because there's not been much racing, it's sort of like, oh, let's build this up in something bigger than it was, or were you impressed?
Oh, I was hugely impressed. I was impressed by his win at Limerick before that. Anyone who hasn't seen that, you know, I'd advise them to watch it. You rarely see a horse make up that amount of ground so quickly in the short yardage that he did. I was very impressed with his jumping well at Nace. Yeah, I mean, I agree with Darren. I think they might well have been thinking for the Fred Winter. Maybe they're still hopeful he won't get too much weight for that. But I think after that performance, you say he could possibly be a triumph contender. You really could. I mean, wow, that was really impressive. And I have said before that I think we can take that Ireland are going to win the triumph hurdle. I think we can now take it that Joseph O'Brien's going to win the triumph. I mean, he's got an amazing hand in it. Yeah. And he'd definitely be on my shortlist for that race.
Yeah, going to be short odds to win the triumph, isn't he, Joseph O'Brien? Stu, Band of Outlaws, were you impressed?
Yeah, I was really impressed. More so in a Fred Winter capacity than in a triumph hurdle capacity. As has already been touched on, obviously Joseph's strength there. He doesn't need another string to that bow. And he was very much given the sort of run through the race that was screaming handicap. The thing that's interesting about it is you watch the race again. It's hard to give him too big a figure for it. Mm. So actually, on a form perspective, even if you want to mark him up for being as visually impressive as he was, I can't see him getting a massive rating that's going to take him out of Fred Winter contention.
And I know Racing Post ratings weren't very impressive.
Exactly,
at all.
You know, and it's one of those whereby if he does go down the Fred Winter route, which I think he will, and he doesn't get a huge rating, all it takes is for Joseph to say at one of the many preview evenings that will be going on, or someone to say that Joseph has said, he works as well as the other two at home and he's going to half in price for the Fred Winter. I wouldn't want to be backing him anti-post. I know there's some non-runner no bet out there for the Fred Winter, but I wouldn't want to be backing him until you see the weights. Mm. But when you get an idea of what mark he's going to be on, he could be one to play between then and the preview circuit, because he is the sort of horse that has the potential to be talked up.
Yeah, that's
right. He got a rating of 1.34 from the Irish handicapper.
Okay.
That just came out this morning. Now, I know the British handicapper tends to be a bitter little man, and he'll probably give him £10 extra for that, but 1.34 over our end.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks for that, Darren. City Island won earlier on in the card. Now, he's sort of a Ballymore type that a lot of shrewdies have been latching onto, Jimmy.
Yes, price-wise pick, I think. And, he was impressive as well on Saturday. Unlike Band of Outlaws, I don't think he beat much at all. I mean, he was about a 1-5 shot. He had to be expected to win like that. Mm-hmm. Really, it's his form before Christmas that you've got to be interested in. His bumper form as well. None of it was in graded company, but he did beat some good horses there. He's still got a bit to prove, but he's a Ballymore contender for certain.
Okay, what price is he for the Ballymore now, Darren, and how impressed were you?
He is 8-1 with us for the Ballymore hurdle, and that's an unrunner no bet.
Okay, fantastic. And were you suitably impressed, or do you think he just did what he had to do?
Yeah, it wasn't blown away, now, to be fully honest with you. He was fine. He jumped okay, and he probably beat the right horse. Like, that second horse at Dermot McLaughlin's was suitably well backed after coming from the point to point circuit. Yeah, look, it was fine. I wouldn't be latching on to him now as an 8-1 shot for a grade one at Cheltenham off the back of this, but he didn't do anything wrong either, so yeah, fair enough.
Okay. Stu, we previewed the Supreme of the Ballymore the other week and you were talking about the differences between the two races. City Island, would he come onto your radar?
I mean, he's one of those horses, I think, if you're on at Pricewise Prices, absolutely, you'd be buzzing right now, wouldn't you? I'm not sure I'd be rushing out to back him at 8-1. He's the sort of horse, yes, I like what I've seen so far, and in terms of the Ballymore, I think he's not even entered in the Supreme. They're very much going down that route, and he seems to tick the boxes for the race. I mean, I think it's one of those. Did he enhance his festival claims at the weekend? No, not really. You know, he did what a 1-5 shot should, and, you know, can he win at the festival? Yeah, he can win. I'm not saying he's going to, but he could definitely win it. He's an exciting horse. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. Do I think we saw the Ballymore winner? Probably not.
Okay. Did we see a Cheltenham Festival winner in Prava Laguna? Very impressive over fences. She sort of needed to find a little bit to be in the mix with them over hurdles, but she seems to have improved plenty, Stu.
She does seem to have improved. She's a decent mare, and, you know, I think she's one of those. I think this, we're now starting to get into the realms that you mentioned earlier of there wasn't much action over the weekend, so we're just latching on to anything here. The fact is, did she produce a performance that merited running at the Cheltenham Festival? Absolutely, yes. Yeah. She deserves to go to the festival. She's the sort of horse I could see running a decent enough race, finishing sort of 5th, 4th, 6th, somewhere in behind. But you look at that mare's hurdle, if the horses that are likely to turn up, she's going to really struggle to get in the first three because it's potentially a very hot race.
Okay, Darren, I know you're slightly sweeter on her chances.
Yeah, I liked her. I thought she jumped really, really well. I think a step up and trip is going to suit her. You have to remember she's going to get a mare's allowance as well. I think is it £7? And I think, you know, if she went out in front and just kind of said, come and get me in a JLT, which looks like one of the windiest races of the festival going by the entry so far, I think she'd be more than entitled to take her place there, and anything over a double digit price, and I think she would be she'd definitely be a contender and be definitely worth backing.
Okay, Jimmy, any thoughts? Whose side are you on?
Well, it was an impressive performance, but a bit like City Island, really. I thought, you know, she was odds on to win, and you had to expect her to do so.
Against Bodazil, who is a horse who wants lots further than that.
She's 138 rated hurdler, and she was getting £12 from Bodazil, who's 142 rated chaser. So she should be expected to win that, and she did. I was impressed with her, jumping. I don't know really where she would go at Cheltenham to have a real winning chance. I wouldn't personally have thought she's a JLT horse. I wouldn't have thought she's good enough for that. Interesting if she was in one of the handicaps, maybe, to see what handicap mark she got. And obviously there's the mare's hurdle as well. But no, I would look for others for a festival winner, I have to say.
Okay, we'll move on to Punchestown on Sunday then. And Ballycasey was a pretty warm order for a lot of pundits. I know lots of people have fancied him for Cheltenham. He disappointed, and it was the old horse Josie's Orders who won over the banks. Jimmy, what sort of impact do you think that would have on the Cheltenham markets? Much? Were you a big Ballycasey fan? Who takes your fancy in March?
It would be probably something like Josie's Orders. I mean, I always kind of look for a kind of left field selection in that race. I mean, it's just such an old race. I think I went for a French trained horse last year.
Can't go too far wrong with them, actually. Recently. Yeah,
you tend to get good value for those types of horses. Josie's Orders has got to be one of the favourites to win next month. That's a good trial, actually, that race at Punchestown for the festival race. I wouldn't want to take too short a price about a horse like Josie's Orders. I mean, he is what he is, you know.
Yeah, he looks a bit sort of not exposed, but we know where we stand with him now, don't we? So it'd be nice to see something come out.
Grand sort, but, you know, he's not one to get you excited.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stu, any thoughts on the cross country?
Yeah, I can't have Josie's Orders. He's the sort of horse I just look at and think, yeah, he likes the Banks course over at Punchestown. He won't win at Cheltenham. He's much too slow. Like, he's had his day. He's 11 now. And, you know, I mean, I had to have a bet on whether him or Hurricane Darwin, I think Hurricane Darwin would reverse the form come Cheltenham. He's double the price. So, I mean, if I had to play one for that race, from that race, then it would be Hurricane Darwin. But do I think either of them are going to win at the festival? No.
Okay, Darren, who wins at the festival?
Tiger Roll.
Tiger Roll, cool.
Head and chest, mouth open. Easy game. We're 11-2 Josie's Orders, none under no bet for the cross country chase. There's as big as 8-1 in the place. Could probably run into the top three if, you know, if things went his way, but for me, they all have to beat the mighty Tiger Roll.
Yeah, he couldn't beat Fact of the Matter there, of course, last time either. We'll move on then to Dunikos, a horse who I was so confident they were going to run him in the 4 miler last year. I had quite a big bet by my standards, went to the RSA, lost his way after that. But he won the Grand National Trial in pretty good style, I think it's fair to say, Darren.
Yeah, he did it really well. I actually backed him for the Thyestes, of course, so it's no shock whatsoever he came out and won this. Did it reasonably well. It was like a Jigginstown battalion coming, jumping the last. It was just a matter of which one of them was going to get in front, and Davey did a great job to get Dunikos up. The one that I took out of the race was Solomon Grundy for Henry de Bromhead, and Thomas Goo looked momentarily outpaced, and he stayed on like eye-catchingly enough now to be fifth. He was given a soft time, but I think, and he was also given a soft time for the Christmas. Now, the thing is, he might need a couple of pounds to get into the Irish National, so maybe finishing a bit closer would have been no harm, but he was my takeout from the race, but all credit to Dunikos.
Any takeouts, Stu?
I find it a difficult one. I kind of look at Dunikos, and I think he was running at Punchestown off a mark of 147. It took 142 to get into the National last year. So to me, I never understand it when this happens. A horse comes out, wins a handicap and gets cut for another handicap, because effectively all he's done is made his chances harder of winning the National. Dominic Gardner-Hill doesn't do the weights until Tuesday, and you can bet wherever he had Dunikos, he's adding a few pounds today, isn't he? Therefore, come Aintree in April, he's going to have a harder task of winning the National than he did on Sunday morning. So, yeah, he's not one to be playing for me. Yes, he's proved he's in good form. It was a peach of a ride by Davy Russell, but I think that's as far as you can take it.
Okay, Jimmy, any Grand National fancies at this stage?
Well, Dunikos would... I wouldn't say he'd be on my shortlist or anything, but he's one to think about, definitely, after that. I mean, he won with his ears pricked. I mean,
that,
yeah.
Flogus Novice Chase form from his novice season reads really well now, doesn't it?
Yeah, and they, like you said, they could have gone for the 4 miler last season. They ended up going for the RSA. I seem to remember he drifted quite badly on the day.
Yeah, he did.
But they obviously think quite a bit of him. I mean, they were talking him up for the Thyestes and other big handicaps earlier in the season. So he's got some talent. I mean, as Stu said, that's really not going to help his handicap mark for the National. Mm. But with his trainer's fine record in the race, you'd have to consider him. I mean, he's young and improving and seems to jump well enough. So
yeah. Exactly. Darren, any other sort of fancies from Nace from Punchestown, sorry, on Sunday? I know Riders on the Storm, he won. Quite a few people hopefully would have been on him after listening to the Friday tipping postcast.
Yeah, he was a massive standout for me. Jumped really, really well. He looks really quick, that's what stood out to me. They're talking about going for the JLT with him, and that just doesn't make any sense to me. He was tying up, I think. Well, they say he was idling, I don't know. But, you know, he didn't seem to get home over 2 miles, 3 around Limerick on what was admittedly very heavy ground around Christmas time. But the JLT wouldn't look obvious to me. If I had him, he'd be going to the Grand Annual, I think, because... I don't know what rating he got, but that'd look the race for him. And then there's one for your race and post tracker, and Tracy's Enniscorthy ran in the 20 past 3. It was a 0-109 3 mile handicap hurdle. Looked to be coming to win his race and kind of clattered the last. He ended up coming home lame, but he was only beaten about 4 lengths. This lad, just stick him into your tracker, wins next time or the time after. You're going to make money back in this horse in its next 3 races, so he's definitely one to follow.
And Stu, some horses that you think could run well in the future?
Yeah, there were two horses that ran this weekend, both novices, both mares, and that's what interests me. One was Sonoria, who ran at Punchestown. Yep. One for Henry de Bromhead, who already has the favourite for the mares novice hurdle, Honeysuckle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just really impressed with her. She beat a decent yardstick in Chosen Mate. The fact that she went against the colts, the geldings, and proved her stuff against the boys, always I find encouraging form for mares if trainers are willing to stick them into open company. I always think that's catches my eye. I thought she did it in really gutsy fashion. The two pulled clear, and there doesn't appear to be a Willie Mullins crackpot for that race this year. She caught my eye. The other one was actually at Nace on the Saturday for the same race, Emily Moon. She just ran the sort of race that I think, has kind of gone under the radar. She went out from the front, they never got anywhere near her, and you kind of think, oh, gifted it, move on. The fact is, she was actually only three lengths clear passing the post first time. She's ended up winning by 14 from Debuchet, who we know to be a decent horse.
Yeah.
Now, he's had his issues. He's clearly struggling to deliver on quite all the promise that he did show. But the fact is, we know for a fact he's a decent horse with a decent engine, and she dragged the guts out of them. She went from the front, she eased it up, let him come to him, and then just disappeared. And it's just the sort of performance, I think, has gone massively under the radar. She's still a big 20, 25 to 1 in places for the Mayor's Novices hurdle, and with her running style, I could see her being a nice each way bet on the day.
I really like that selection. Jimmy, anything add to the horses Stu mentioned? Anything else catch your eye?
Well, I just agree with Darren that the Race Riders on the Storm one looked quite a good one to me. Both he and the second horse Impact Factor pulled miles clear of the rest. I thought it was running a pretty good time. Impact Factor's quite interesting, actually. I know he's a beaten favourite there, and he can't seem to win a chase yet, but some of his form is pretty good. And he could be an interesting one for the Grand Annual, because the trainer's won that race twice before. And this is a similar sort of type to those two previous winners she's had, Jessica Harrington. So, yeah, that's another one I'd take down tonight.
Okay, fabulous. We'll take a quick break now, but we'll be back just to talk about the weekend's rating after this.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
So welcome back to this Monday postcast. Now, flu permitting, obviously, we don't know if racing's going to take place on Saturday or not, but let's talk about it nevertheless. Fingers crossed that, you know, Ascot, Haydock, Wincanton will all go ahead. Let's start off with Ascot. Reynolds Town's always a pretty good race. O'Fallon's Boy won it in 2014. He went on to win the RSA. I think he's the last winner to do so. And Santini could be lining up here. So, you know, we're going to have a good idea of what's going to happen in the RSA, Stu.
I don't know. I don't really rate Santini that highly. I'm not a massive fan of his.
I'm with you on that one. I agree.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see the RSA Chase winner, whether he turns up or not.
And why aren't you keen on him?
I just find him one of those horses that I'm prepared to get him. I'm prepared to be wrong about him, but he's never going to be the sort of price I want to back at.
Yeah.
And he's not done anything actually to suggest he deserves to be that much shorter than everything else. So I'm always inclined to take those horses on. He might have a tall reputation and it may be entirely merited, but until he proves it to me, I'm not particularly interested in backing him. And he's the sort of horse that I love to go against, because to me he makes a market.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, why should the horses that have beaten him be a bigger price than he is? Do you agree, Jimmy?
No, I think he's being... getting a bit of a kicking, Santini, for his performance in the Quarto Star. Well,
rightly so, he was third.
Well, yeah, but I don't think it was that bad a run. He never looked that happy to me going right-handed. I mean, he is going right-handed again here. But he's always a horse that I've liked a lot. I think he'd be much happier at Cheltenham. I agree, you know, on his form over fences so far, he's a bit of a short price.
Mm.
But he's been one of my horses I've been... looking forward to all season, so I'm not going to give up on him at this early stage. That's, you know, as good a form as you'll get in the Novice Chase division, that Quarto Star race. So I don't think you should be too harsh on him.
Yeah, that's very true. Darren, who do you fancy? I'd be really interested if Glenn Rocco turns up. I've been super impressed with him the last couple of times, and he jumps really well, he stays really well, and this race could suit him, I think.
Yeah, made my thoughts very clear on Santini in last week's anti-post postcast. There's no need to go over that again, I don't think. Can definitely see the angle into Glen Rocco as well. He's obviously really, really fast improver this year. The one that I am interested in for this race is one madly out of left field. I think it probably won't be on many people's radars. It's a horse called Rio Quinto for Ollie Murphy, who you might remember I mentioned on last week's anti-post postcast as well. He ended up being a disappointment, effectively, as a novice hurdler, and Ollie Murphy would say that himself. But his chase debut at Lingfield, do you know sometimes when you watch a race and you just think, I'm after seeing something special there? he beat nothing, but just the way he did it, I was absolutely blown away by it. I think if he can improve from that, he is definitely a force to be contended with for the novice chases going forward this year, even at the spring festivals.
Okay, fantastic. I know you're a big fan of him, so hopefully we'll see him on Saturday. We'll move swiftly over to Haydock now. The Rendlesham hurdle, often, you know, a pointer to the stayers hurdle. And interesting that Alan King might run Yanworth here, Darren.
Yeah, look, he's a funny old horse, Yanworth. It's hard to know what to make of him, really. He's obviously been off the track for a while, and I'd say ultimately you'd say he's a disappointment overall, because the promise that he showed early on, then they went chasing with him, that didn't work out and all. I'd love to see him come back to his best, because he was an old favourite of mine, and his run last year in the Stayers Hurdle was more than respectable. So at his best, he'd kick these out of the way. They wouldn't see which way he went, but it's just a matter of how good he is at the moment.
Yeah, interesting that Paul Nichols has, if you say, run in there as well, stepping up in trip, and she's been running against mares, so that's quite interesting. Stu, I'll go over to you next. Yanworth, again, is he going to be one to take on at a short price?
Well, yeah, you'd have to, wouldn't you? You can't go in backing him at a short price based on where he's been and what he's been doing lately. The one that I'd be interested in is Klein, obviously, if it goes ahead, and he'd want testing conditions, but at the same time he is going up in trip, so maybe that mitigates it. He's a classy horse. He's been banging his head against some decent yardsticks at shorter trips, and you know, he's the sort of horse that come two out, he may just fade out of contention and not have the stamina for it, but actually he's one of the classier members of this race, and if he does stay the trip, if it is what he's been crying out for, it could be very hard to beat.
He could indeed, Jimmy.
Well, we haven't seen Yanna for quite some time, so I'd be cautious about backing him at a track like Haydock. I mean, it gets very testing there.
Yeah.
Donna's Diamond did well in this race last year, so yeah. I think if I had to pick one, I'd go for him. Tough, consistent, stays well, goes well on soft ground.
Yeah, good shout for last year's winner at Wincanton. It's the Kingwell Hurdle again, a festival trial in sorts for the champion hurdle. A few really interesting names in here, Darren. I know you thought So Royal was a bit of a left field one, considering he's probably going to go to the champion chase.
Yeah, well, I don't give him any chance in the champion chase, so I suppose he's as well going back hurdling. He's a funny entry, all right. Like, it wouldn't be unheard of for a horse to have a prep over hurdles before going chasing at the festival, but if he ran here, look, he'd probably be a short price because he is probably the best horse in the field. But
just run us through the rest of the runners.
Yeah, sure thing. So Silver Streak, if the cap fits, Unison, Vision the Flow, Chittabello, Jolly's Cracked It, Getaway Trump, Grand Sansi, Keldesten, IK Brunel and Sparadek, as well as So Royale. And the one I'd be interested in, I think, here is if the cap fits. I think he is potentially a top class horse. Probably hasn't just shown it yet. If he could get his conditions here, you know, good to soft ground and a strongly run race, I think there is more to come from him.
Yeah, Jimmy, interesting to see Sparadek in there as well. He goes off like a nutcase in some of the good handicaps over 2 miles over fences, so who knows what he could do back over hurdles.
Yes, he could slip them. You can get that at Wincanton sometimes because they're going downhill into the straight, so that's always a possibility. I would have thought you'd see something classier winning this. Vision de Flow, I thought that was a much better run from him at Sandown last time behind Bouvardet. That was our first run after a wind-up, I think. And
if he wouldn't have flattened the last two flights, he probably would have been a bit closer as well.
Yeah, well, if he can step up on that, he'd have to think that he'd have some sort of chance. I think if you're a Bouvardet fan, you'd be hoping that he'd run very well. Otherwise, it doesn't really say much for Bouvardet's recent performances, so I can see him going close.
Yeah, Bouvardet did sort of breeze past him at Sandown, but I thought he'd give him a pretty big fright, didn't he?
You say that. I mean, Vision de Flow was chasing him right to the line.
Yeah.
He was chasing him, but he didn't get him off the bridle, Jimmy. Like, you know, if you're Bouvardet, you'd be absolutely loving it if Vision de Flow goes to Wincanton and wins, because if the horse that can't even get him off the bridle is the biggest danger in Britain, you're laughing, aren't you? You've got
I've seen Bouvardet win easier than that on quite a few occasions. Beating higher rated horses and horses of Vision de Flow easier than that.
I rate Vision de Flow. He's a decent horse, and I was impressed with him up at Aintree. And I think, you know, he's the sort of horse I've been waiting to come to the boil. He's not quite done what I was kind of hoping he would this season. But that said, you know, I'd be disappointed if he won this.
So who do you think wins, Stu?
I'm going to go a bit left field. I'm going to go with Keldestin. I think if you look at the weight he'll be getting will be a major factor here. He's a classy horse. He's racking up a load of wins. And if I had to say one of these is going to win a grade one at the festival, it's him, isn't it? The rest aren't. So, I'll side with him.
Paul Nichols, I know he likes this race. Local Tim, of course. We'll move back to Haydock now for the William Hill Grand National Trial Handicap Chase. Darren, I know you've got betting for this one, so just take us through it.
We have surely, yeah. So one of your favourites, Maddie, Miss Parfait is an 8-1 joint favourite here alongside Ramsey the Taye and Robinsworth. Ballydine is 9-1. Impulsive Star is 10-1. Beware the Bear is 12-1. Captain Chaos is 12-1. The Klondike is 12-1. Yala Enki is 12-1. And we are 14 spare.
Brilliant. Yala Enki won it last year, but as you say, great to see Miss Parfois back. I'm excited to see what she can do. We've only seen her in the Ladbrokes Trophy this season, Darren.
Yeah, her run last year in the 4-miler was a bit of a heartbreaker for all involved. And her run in the Ladbrokes Trophy was just a bit of a head scratcher. Mm. Hard to know what to make of it. I don't know, does she need really soft ground or what? You know, she's gone okay on all surfaces in the past. I'd hope to see her get her back on track here, because she's a really, really likeable mare and I'd like to see her kick on in her career.
Yeah, and who would you like from a betting perspective?
An old favourite of mine is Red Infantry for Ian Williams. He's really been on the improve this year. He almost won a similar race at Sandown earlier on in the year, and where I just think the bottomless ground caught him out, as well as having to give 2 stone away to the eventual winner. I think slightly better ground here and a nicer race and weight will suit him perfectly, because he does look a stayer on the improve.
Okay, the Grand National picture still looking pretty open at this stage. Jimmy, any fancy in this?
Well, it's going to be a real slogger, isn't it? I mean, it always is. I know Yala Enki is £9 higher than when he won it last year. But last year, I mean, Venetia Williams' runners weren't as in good a form as they have been this term. Mm. And I thought his performance in the Welsh National was terrific. I mean, you really can keep up a gallop in this sort of soft, heavy ground. Good record at Haydock. So I can't see him finishing out the first four, I have to say.
Okay, nice and confident, Stu.
I'll go with 2 against the field. I thought Ballydone was impressive last time, made a bad mistake. I think it was 3 out and cost him his chance, but he travelled well up until that point. And the other one I like is Beware the Bear. He's a classy, classy horse. Great big staying chaser. Looks tailor-made for a test like this. And the beauty of this race, with it coming after the national weights are released, it brings horses rated above 142 into play, because they aren't going to damage their marks for the big day. So yeah, he'd be the other one.
Okay, the grade one is at Ascot. That's the Betfair Ascot Chase. Now, has there ever been a more aptly named horse than Wait Impatiently? I'm not sure there has. Fingers crossed we'll be able to see him. Jimmy, first and foremost, a horse with a lot of talent.
He's very talented, but I wish we could see a bit more of him.
It's frustrating, isn't it?
Oh, very frustrating. I know they were very unlucky in the King George. I mean, he was travelling nicely at the time and stuff. They might well have run him this Saturday, actually. In the game spirit, because the ground would have been to his liking. He does need soft ground, and I don't think there's going to be that much rain forecast this week, so I do if racing is on, I do hope we'll see him. My selection in this would be Politolog, who I think on his day is a class act. Yeah, ran of the King George, didn't run to form in the King George. His problem is he seems to lose his race sometimes before it actually starts. He balls over completely, but I think this drop back in trip would suit. He was an impressive winner at the course earlier in the season.
The
jumps really well. I think this is his distance. I think this is his chance.
Yeah, and what about the Ryanair for him, in speaking longer term? Do you think he could do well in that?
I prefer him for this sort of... Because he's got such a good record on right-handed tracks. I mean, he's a Tingle Creek winner as well. I think I prefer him for this than the Ryanair. His record at Cheltenham's not great, isn't it?
Okay.
It's not special.
Yeah, and Stu?
Yeah, I mean, I think if Waiting Patiently turns up, he probably wins it. He's a classy, classy horse. I think the way to play this race, if you're going to get involved...
Let's just hope it's on.
Well, absolutely. But if you're going to get involved at this stage, Politolog is the play, because there's every chance that Waiting Patiently isn't going to turn up. Mm. And if he does, you can't say guarantee. Like, you've not got a bad price, have you? Politolog's still going to be the same price to beat him if he does turn up. I think the other issue with Politolog, that talking of what Jimmy says, he can be a bit headstrong, he can boil over. This race could be tailor-made for him, because you've got Surname in there. who will go off like the clappers, and that should help him settle. So everything looks set up for him to run up to the best of his ability. And if he does that, waiting patiently, he'll have to produce a good run to beat him. I think he will, but at the prices at the moment, with the fact that you, even if racing is on, you can't guarantee waiting patiently will be there. If I had to play now, I'd play Politolog.
Okay, Darren, just run us through the betting and your selection.
Can do, yeah. So waiting patiently is indeed our 7-4 favourite here. Politolog then is 10-3. Surname and Top Notch are 4s. Fox Norton is 6-1. Charbel is 10s. ASO is 12s. Janica is 14s. And Abolitionist rounds them out at 100-1. Suppose, yeah, the talking point of this race really is waiting patiently. He was turned into an extremely frustrating animal. Seems to have been wrapped up in cotton wool. I can fully understand why, when you're a small yard and you've only one stable star, the last thing you want to do is risk him. But for the sake of the horse, I'd like to see him run again if he does have any festival aspirations. The one I'd sort of side with here, I think, is Charbel. He's something of a cliff horse of mine. I think he has bags and bags of ability. I think, you know, if they go off hard here, it'll suit him. He's run well at Ascot before, and his jumping is the only thing. I think if he jumps well, he's about £7 better horse. Like, he loses out every race he's ever lost. He's lost out by his jumping. And a 10-1 with 3 places available, I'd struggle to see him out of 3, especially if waiting patiently does not show up.
Yeah, it's a cracking race, especially, Stu, I know you were quite keen on Fox Norton a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about him. He's a really good horse on his day. And then ASO as well, a lot of people fancy him for the Ryanair. So, you know, fingers crossed it is on. And Surname, after the performance he put in last time, it'd be great to see him again. Whether he can keep it up in this class, I'm not sure. But we'll get on to our mid-week racing just after this advert.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. Now, we'll find out later today if racing does take place on Wednesday. Fingers crossed it does. We're going to presume it does. Tuesday's obviously out of the equation, but could be Fairy House, Southall, Plumpton, Musselburgh, Kempton on Wednesday. Thursday is Kelso, Clonmel, Leicester, Fontwell, Chelmsford, and Friday is Sandown, Fakenham, Lingfield and Newcastle. Darren, I'll go over to you first. There's a Grade 3 novice hurdle at Clonmel on Thursday that you're particularly keen to talk about.
There is indeed, yeah. It's probably going to be the best race of the week and potentially one of the only races of the week, depending on what you lot get up to. Sal Serretta's in here for Willie Mullen. She's an interesting runner. Gordon has a few in there as well. Dallas Depicton. An interesting one on Dallas Depicton. I either don't see him running here, and if he does, I don't see him winning. Gordon said at the weekend, I think in the Racing Post, he wants him to go for the Martin Pipe. The last thing he wants is for him going winning a graded race between now and then. The one I'd be half interested in is Cap York for Noel Mead. So he came back after 2 years off and won a maiden hurdle at Navan by a length and three quarters. Very, very cosily. Went down to Limerick for the Grade 2 over Christmas and finished just behind Darren Ross, Deffy Blue and Pleasure Dome. I think Darren Ross is potentially extremely smart. I think he's very, very smart potentially. And that form could work out really, really well. I think as a boost to his form, Cap York would be the one I'd be interested in.
Okay, fabulous. Gents, any other things to talk about other than your midweek nap? Stu, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, absolutely. At Fairy House on Wednesday, Gordon Elliott has a talented horse entered up for the first time in over 2 years called Missy Tata. She was very impressive as a juvenile hurdler. I'd be excited to see her back. She's only 7 now and she's going over fences, so that'll be interesting. If she can get over whatever ailments she's had and she can retain the ability and take to fences, then she ticks an awful lot of boxes and could be one to watch. There's just one other thing that I want to highlight. There's a decent card at Sandown on the Friday, and if that gets the go ahead, that'll be really interesting. You've got Angel's Breath centered on the card. You've got a Grade 2 Mayor's Novices hurdle that'll be a big pointer. But the race I want to highlight is the Royal Artillery Gold Cup. Absolutely, because I will be watching the jockey bookings for this like a hawk. There is a gentleman by the name of Lieutenant Billy, and let me just get this right. Aprahamian, right? Billy Aprahamian is a genius in these races. He rode Barden to win the Grand Military Gold Cup for Nicky Henderson last year. He rides out for Nicky Henderson, and he is a serious talent. Go back and watch that ride on Barden. He wouldn't stick out as if he went against the pros, and I've never seen a rider in a military race you could say that about. So if he is on one, it is worth backing, because he's absolute magic.
I love that. Apart from obviously when you got to the, we're doing quite well, Fairy House to start off with. Yeah. It's definitely going to be ahead anyway, Jimmy.
Our old colleague Ross Clark used to love that race. He said it was his favourite race of the year. Just he was like you, just looking
good
at the jockey bookings, and he just couldn't wait for each year. I did find one at Fairy House for midweek in the 2:35 on Wednesday. Grey Waters. I think she could run quite well. She's very consistent for the Joseph O'Brien Yard, which of course is in great form. And I thought she ran well behind a really top-class mare in Camellia de Cotte last time at Turlers. So I can expect to see her going well, getting some weight. And I, like Stuart, am hoping there is a resumption at Sandown on Friday, because we could be seeing one of the most exciting horses in training in the 3:30 there. That's Elusive Bell.
Yes.
Yeah, very impressive winner at Wincanton. Festival winner in waiting, hopefully.
God, it's a nightmare not having any of this racing on, isn't it? Please, please sort it out. We'll go on to your midweek naps now.
This will not be beaten.
James Hill.
I'm going to go for a horse called Buffer Duff in the 3:50 at Clonmel. Good second at Navan last time. Going down to a well-handicapped horse and Gooseman. Up £5 for that. And I don't think this race is anything like a strong.
Okay, that's on Thursday. And Darren?
A horse called On the Line for Hugo Palmer is entered in a novice stakes at Lingfield at 3:10 on Friday. Some very, very interesting novice form at good tracks from over the summer, principally when he wasn't beaten far by Court Poet, who went on to run very, very well in the Group 3 in France, and Leroy, who went on to win a Class 2 juvenile handicap off a mark of 84 immediately afterwards. This race looks fairly weak. He's been given a bit of time off to strengthen up, and I'd be very sweet on him.
Stuart?
A horse of Gordon Elliott's called Blow by Blow, who is in the 2 mile, 7.5 furlong chase at Fairy House on Wednesday. Found it very interesting looking through the field for that an awful lot of Gordon's entries, and indeed an awful lot of the entries for the race, ran in Sunday's Grand National Trial. The reason this horse sticks out for me, Gordon obviously does very well with those staying chases. He had the first and third, I believe it was, on Sunday. This horse was very much kept for this race. Everything else ran on Saturday. He's got two others in there. They're 11 and 12. One of them's been off the track 650 days. This very much seems like his horse for this race. Interestingly enough, on a mark of 142 in Ireland, which if he had run on Sunday, there would have been the possibility of going up. Whereas if he runs after the weights have come out, on the day after the weights come out, then he can't be touched. So all of that combined to make me think, well, maybe Gordon has lined this one up at this race, and he'd be my midweek nap.
Very, very shrewd. I like that. I like that analysis very much. That should do us for today's podcast. We'll be back soon. Make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to us from. Remember that the Cheltenham Anti-Postcast will be out tomorrow. The Golf is on Wednesday, and Bruce is in the chair for that, as well as Friday's Tipping Postcast. Fingers crossed there will be some action to talk about then. I've been Maddie Playo, and we'll see you soon.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.